to talk about the Shira. Azgash Yermoshe of Nei Yisrael, which you can follow in your Siddur, but the advantage of the Chumash is that it has Rashi in it. And I just wanted to get through some of the Shira with you, not just so, you know, you can daven with more kavana when you say the Shira, but just to understand what we're saying. Very hard language. So let's get the story straight. The story was that we were slaves in... Shrine, that's correct. You already know the story?
Smart hour.
We were slaves in Mitzrayim. And the funny thing that even though we don't know the story, I don't know, like, you know, something to really internalize the idea that, you know, we were slaves. Like, we were slaves. Like, getting beaten up and having work quotas and no freedom and not enough food and we were slaves. Okay, so while we were in slavery, the last thing we were doing was creating poetry and making songs. Although, just to make a point, it says that at the end of this, at the end of the Shira, it says that Miriam came out with the women. They sang differently. And starting singing Shira, and it says that she took out her tambourine, and all the women took out their tambourines, and then they started, you know, they all started doing this thing in the desert, you know, the tambourines, you know. So I always wondered to myself, like, you know, hello, where the hell have the tambourines all of a sudden? Like, what's with the tambourines? It just sounds here. They were, yeah, Miriam took out a tambourine, and everybody took out the tambourines, and the tambourines in the Midbar. Here, they finished the Shira. I just to skip ahead here in chapter 10, 12, Pasukah. Batikach Miriam Hanaviah, and then Miriam, the prophetess, Achos Aaron, who was the sister of Aaron, in case you forgot, took as Hatof Biyada, took a tambourine in her hand. Batetzena Kol Anoshim Acharea, Betufim Buvim Cholos, and everybody was doing this thing in the desert, right? So where they have...
Which, you know, I mean, that the Egyptians had a right, like...
So they knew that, like, can I borrow your tambourine? You know, we're going out to the desert, you never know if you need a tambourine in the desert. Like, what are the tambourines? So maybe...
A lot of Christians use tambourines.
Christians use tambourines.
Yeah.
It's a whole thing. So, tambourine. And it's easy to play. I mean, you don't have to, you know, it's not like you have to take lessons for years and years to, but they all took out the tambourines, so I always wonder where they get these tambourines. So the Medrash says that everybody in Egypt, it's just an interesting Medrash, like this is what we call in the world of yeshivas, a Medrash Plia, like one of those astounding Medrashim that don't make much sense on the surface, that throughout the whole slavery in Egypt, everybody always had a tambourine. This wasn't the thing that that they borrowed from the Egyptians. This was a Jewish, like, you know, like we have tzitzis, you know, and the tefillin, and you walk around. Like, Jews always had a tambourine. So, isn't that something? So, so it must be that no matter how difficult things get, and no matter how abused we feel, and no matter how... much freedom we lose, and how sad and depressed we are, like a Jew always has to have a tambourine at his side. You know, you have this tambourine here. Always ready to sing, always ready for a good niggin, you know, always ready to rejoice, always ready to be happy, you know. Maybe always ready, maybe here's another knetch, maybe always ready for the gula to come. You know, there was always a hope in everybody's heart and everybody's mind, you know, maybe the Geula will come today. It took 200 years. You know, we're always asking to be emancipated from our problems. Like, you know, it's like, come on, God, do I have to wait till tomorrow? Today's a good day. Like, what's wrong with today? You know, but sometimes, I mean, I don't want to get anybody more depressed than they are, but sometimes it takes 200 years. You know, it takes 200 years, like, for freedom to reign. But the point is that this was the Minhag Yisrael, that they always had, literally or figuratively, a tambourine at their side, and they're ready to sing. They're just ready for the niggun, ready to rejoice, ready to do poetry. So out of nowhere, Batikach Miriam Anaviah Chazaron is Hatof. She had a tambourine, so you could say, okay, it was played. No. And everybody, Kol Anashim Achreah. How many women would that have been? About a million. About a million women, that's a million tambourines.
Isn't it a drum?
It's tambourine. You can't take a drum beyond that in her hand. So it's a hand drum. So a hand drum is called a tambourine. So everybody went. What are mecholos? What instruments are mecholos? Khalil.
Harps.
What?
Harps.
No. It's like a very simple a khalil. Khalil means hollow. Halal. But just a hollow pipe, like a flute. A flute, but no, like a recorder, yeah. I mean, there's no, in other words, not a reed instrument. Maholos are very, very, maho maybe means hollow. Hmm? Okay, you're thinking. We were talking, can I interrupt this for a commercial? We were talking, I just want to get a reading, in a meeting a couple of days ago. I have this very unique course in Lashon HaKodesh that I give, and the idea is that I've identified approximately 200 roots.
Ooh.
That if you learn these 200 or so roots, 205 I think it is, roots, if you learn these roots, you'll know essentially every single word that's in the Chumash or in the Siddur.
The answer is yes.
I'll tell you how it's not a copy, I got to really show you how this works, because I was reading an article a few years ago about literacy in the English language. So they were saying that, like, if you want to be a college professor, so your vocabulary, I don't know what you have to have something like a 2,700-word vocabulary. That's all. It's not that much. 2,700-word vocabulary. If you want to be a clerk, you have to have maybe a 1,000, word vocabulary.
1,000?
Yeah, something like that. 1,000 words. It's not that much. 1,000 words. I speak that much in 10 minutes. But and if you want to just be like, like a worker, and you don't have to, you're not in the communicating business, so you have to have like a 450 word. And for U.S. citizenship, so they're working on a certain, basic vocabulary that everybody should have to be able to get by in English. You would think it would be Spanish, right? But in English, to get by. Truth is, you get by better with Spanish, I think, in America than in English. So it just made me think, like, how many words do you have to know? I don't talk about Hebrew to talk out there to go shopping, but how many words do you actually have to know? Not even to speak, but to look at a word and be able to identify, to understand everything in the Chumash. Not Tanakh is a little complicated, and everything in the Siddur. Just your basic Lashon HaKodesh. So I counted. I worked very hard on this, and I counted. It came to about 200 words, about 200 roots. Now, there's more than 200 words, but they all, the beauty of Hebrew is that they all sort of sprout from these words. So what,
Hazino?
Ozen?
The whole parsha there, the words that are nowhere.
Hazino is a little bit difficult, a little bit more difficult, but just about the whole Chumash. I can't promise, guarantee everything, but it takes about 10 shots to, it takes about 10 hours to get through these 200 words and see how they explode into about 3,000 words, so that you understand everything, and there's a lot of Chazal and Medrash, so if there's a major interest, so then we can do that on Thursday nights, maybe, so before the Mishnah, so... if there's a major interest. Anybody not interested? Don't be ashamed. You know Hebrew?
Yeah. No, but I'm interested.
No, it'll help you. It'll be good. It's also a lot of fun. It's just interesting stuff.
Thank you. I'm glad you...
Okay. So, now that we did that. Let's speak a few minutes, not much, a few minutes about the Shira, and then we'll pick it up later. We were slaves. We weren't poets. And suddenly, when the sea split, we walked through the sea, this week's Parsha, and then Rashi here tells us that we still didn't sing Shira when we saw the sea split, and it wasn't until then the Egyptians, the water came down over the Egyptians, and we still didn't sing Shira, even though the water came, saved us, we were saved, we didn't say Shira for being saved. We didn't say Shira for the fact that the water came out of the Egyptians because we were afraid maybe they found the tunnel out or something. God could do anything. All of a sudden we had a lot of faith in Hashem that he's probably going to save the Egyptians. So it wasn't until Shepoltu ala chof that the water actually spit the enemy out onto the beach, and we saw that they were defeated, that we sang Shira. So the Shira, the point of the Shira was that this was the closure on a couple hundred years of torture. That's the point of the Shira. And we needed absolute closure. So they didn't say Shira on the ten Vayiru Amas Hashem. Let's say here. Vayiru Amas Hashem. Let's take that one back. Vayar Yisrael. Just if you go to chapter 14. Well, let's just do this. Chapter 14, right before 15, Pasuk Lamed. Right, this was the introduction to the Shira. Vayosha Hashem Bayoma Hues Yisrael Miyad Mitzrayim. That it was on that day, not through the ten plagues, it was on that day that Hashem gave us a Yeshua from the hands of Mitzrayim. So let's see. From the hands of Mitzrayim. By Yiru HaAmas Hashem, and everybody had Yira Shemayim, the Yaminu Bashem, and they believed in Hashem, of Moshe Abdo. So if you take a look at Rashi here, in Pasuk Lamed, Vayar Yisrael's Mitzrayim Meisal Spas Hayom. I'm sorry, Vayar Yisrael, yeah, in Pasuk Lamed, Vayosh Hashem Yom HaHuz Yisrael Miyam Mitzrayim, Vayar Yisrael's Mitzrayim Meisal. So Rashi says, Shepoltan Hayom Al Sifasai. It means that the, how did they see them die? They didn't see them die. Like when you see somebody drown, you just see them go under, but you don't actually see them die. So Rashi says, Vayar Yisrael Es Mitzrayim Meis Al Sfas Hayom. He saw them die. The Klal Yisrael saw them dead on the beach. Shepoltam Hayom Al Sfasai. And that's because the water actually threw them out of the water. Kadesh Lo Yomer Yisrael, so that the Jews shouldn't say, Kishem She'anu Olin Mitzad Zed, just like we came out on this side, Kachem Olin Mitzad Acher. They just came out on the other side. A miracle might have happened for them also. Rochik Mimenu, and it's far from us, and we can't see it, V'yir Defu Acherenu, and they're going to chase us still. So there was, psychologically speaking, they weren't able to say Shira until they actually saw the enemy was absolutely defeated. And since they were absolutely defeated, they knew that there was a moment of freedom. There was a moment of freedom. And then, Oz Yashir Moshe Uvnei Yisrael as Hashir Azo. So I just want to point out that the Chazal say, famous Medrash says that at the Yam, Afilu Shifcha Al Yam, Ra Mashalei Ra Yecheskel Ben Buzi. That Yecheskel Ben Buzi was like one of the most picturesque, graphic prophets of the Jewish people. He's the one who saw the chariot and the Shekhinah and the Maisa Merkava. And what every single person standing there saw was something even more than what he saw. So when at the Yam, what did they see? Every single Jew, even the most simple person, had some kind of a nevuah that nobody else has ever had. Even Yechezkel, the prophet, didn't have that kind of a nevuah. So I think the pshat here is, simple pshat, this is our introduction to the Shira, simple pshat is that with our eyes, generally speaking, we see the physical world. You see water goes from a high place to a low place, tide comes in, tide goes out, winds, the things that we see in this world, human nature, we see nature, we see the way nature works. If you're a scientist, you see deeper the way nature works. But we see what we see, and we believe what we can see, either with our eyes or even under a microscope using tools. But we got to see it. And in our minds, I think, if we're honest with ourselves, the world of spirituality is like that's sort of in the mind. It's in the heart. Like you don't see it. You don't really see the world. You see the physical world, but you don't really see the spiritual world. Not something which is like there to see. It's in the mind, it's in the heart, it's something that we feel, we feel like there's a certain Shekhinah here, but it's not as real as something physical. But I think what happened at the moment of the Kriyas Yamsuf what happened at the moment of Kriyas Yamsuf, or the moment of when we were saved from the Yamsuf, is all of a sudden we were able to see something very, very spiritual. In other words, when you see the Yad Hashem, you see the actual hand of Hashem in this world, changing nature and defeating an undefeatable enemy, and absolute miracles taking place, and salvation and emancipation, what they saw was, they saw the spiritual part of this world as clearly as they saw the physical part of this world. So that was the chiddush here of Kriyas Yamsuf. And that's what Chazal mean when they say that even a simple person saw what Yechezkel ben Buzi couldn't see. Not necessarily that they had prophecies. Might be they had prophecies, but it doesn't say that they had a prophecy bigger than Yechezkel ben Buzi. That's not what it says. It says Ra Shivchalaya Mashalay Ra Yechezkel ben Buzi. That what they saw. What did they see? What did Yechezkel see? Yechezkel was able to see, sort of with his eyes or with his mind's eye, he was able to see the Shechina of Hashem. Okay, so he saw. So he had like an image, actually. Like most people don't have like an image, a godly image like that that they can see. But at this point, if you can see spirituality as much as clearly as you can see physicality, so then you're a prophet. You're a Yechezkel. You're bigger than Yechezkel. So what took place here, what brought out the Shira, which was this prophetic expression of song and just unbelievable, is what brought out the Shira was this idea of being able to see the spiritual world perfectly clear. And that's what everybody saw at and this is, it's interesting that we repeat this every day. We repeat the Oz Yashir every day. Why? Why is it part of our davening? Say Oz Yashir. There's a lot of fantastic things happened in the Torah and in the Chumash, and we don't repeat them every day. Because when we say the Oz Yashir, and we actually start from Vayosha Hashem Vayom Ahu, when we say the Oz Yashir, what we're supposed to do is try to focus in on where can we see spirituality in this world. You know, I was thinking about it last night. It just occurred to me last night that it's clear that Israel in Eretz Yisrael, one experiences a greater, a higher level of Hashgacha Pratis than in Chutz La'aretz. It's a fact. We got to get this clear in our heads because it says in the pasuk Eretz, that Eretz Yisrael, Eretz Asher Eina Hashem Alekecha Boy, Mireishis Hashana Adach Rishana. That Eretz Yisrael is a land that HaKadosh Baruch Hu keeps his eye on. I mean, obviously, he's taking care of the whole world, but he keeps his eye on. And when you say somebody keeps their eye on something, what do you call somebody who watches the kitchen to make sure it's kosher?
Mashiach.
Oh, so Eina Asher Eina Hashem, right? Boy, HaKadosh Baruch Hu's Mashkiach Hashkocha Pratis, right? He watches your eye. Watch with your eye. So God's eye keeps an eye on it, on Eretz Yisrael, from the beginning of the year until the end of the year, meaning all year. HaKadosh Baruch Hu keeps his, not just during Purim time or something, but all the time, HaKadosh Baruch Hu keeps his eye on Eretz Yisrael. And the Ramban says, I just happened to come across last night, the Ramban says that even if there's no Beis HaMikdash, and even if we're in Golos, and even if there's only like a million of people here in Eretz Yisrael, there were times in history there was only a million of people here at Eretz Yisrael, Jews. Wasn't always such a big community. The Ramban came to Yerushalayim, he couldn't find a minion. The Ramban came to Yerushalayim, couldn't find a minion. He begged people to come from Tzfas to be able to come to Yerushalayim. How could there be no minion in Yerushalayim? So he made a minion in Yerushalayim. I mean, there was periods of time in Eretz Yisrael which weren't so simple. But even in those times, the Ramban himself says that he understood. You come to Yerushalayim, it's desolate, you know, there's nothing happening here in terms of, forget about yeshivas or shuls, minyan, right? Nothing seems to be going on over here. But he understood that it's Eretz Asher Eina Hashem Alekecha by Mireishas Hashon Adach Rishon. There's a higher level, understood there's a higher level of Ashkacha Pratis. What does it mean in real life? It means that there's the possibility of seeing spirituality come alive in Eretz Yisrael. Everywhere, if you really look for it, but here it's even easier to see. You can see certain miracles. If you're open to it, you can see certain miracles, and it takes on the same character as the physical world around us. know what I'm saying? I mean, just like the physical world, you can see everywhere. You can see, you know, gravity and all kinds of things. There's a spiritual side you can see here if you're looking at it. If you look at the whole Shira is about, you know, the key words in the Shira here. The Gemara points out the key words in the Shira is Barov Gaon Chataros Kamecha, right? Kadosh Baruch Hu, what they were commenting on was the Gaonut, the exalted energy, brilliance, so to speak, of a Kadosh Baruch Hu. Haroncha, Hashem's anger, Tashala Haroncha Yochleimo Kakash. You see, when he gets angry at Rishoyim, Beruach HaPecha Ner Mumayim, Beruach. You know, these are all different expressions of godliness that every single Jew was able to see at the Yam. So it brought us to a whole new Madrega. And the reason why we say this as Yosher every single day, what I'd like to do tomorrow, God willing, is, sorry I'm out of time today, but I'd like to go through the Shira. Just show you 10-15 highlights of the Shira to see what it is they were saying. But what I want to keep in mind is that the reason why we say it every single day is that that's the exercise of the moment. To take Baruch Hashem and daven slow here in Aruch HaShem, you take a minute and to meditate on where do we see something spiritual happening in our lives, just like we see something physical happen in our lives. What's physical? It goes, I wake up every morning, I got a little less hair. Okay, so that's like that's something physical happened. Okay, so it's a natural aging process. You know, but like, what can we identify? That's kind of easy to see because you look in a mirror and you see it. But what spiritual thing? Like a nes, a hashgacha pratis, something so unusual that happens. I was with Rabbi Schwartz and we were talking to somebody, and Olivia with this idea, it made a big impression on me. We were talking to somebody in America who was thinking of moving to Eretz Yisrael. So the person said to Rabbi, to us, he said, how much parnasa do I need, you know, to live in Eretz Yisrael? Legitimate question, right? So Rabbi Schwartz said, who said you need parnasa to live in Eretz Yisrael? you have a chutz la'aretz mentality. It's such a strong mark, because he wasn't saying that, like, Eretz Yisrael, you should become a beggar or something, which also something, you know, they tell the joke about the Yerushalmi guy says to his son, I want you to learn well how to be a fundraiser so you should never have to come on to people. Get it? but the truth is, it's a deeper level here. In other words, is that parnasa, like, you know, it's a budget, and you know, this is the budget, and this is where I'm going, overspending, underspending. It just doesn't work that way here, which can drive everybody crazy. You know, it can drive you crazy, because you're used to, like, you know, sometimes. Yeah, it drives everybody crazy. It drove the Meraglim so crazy that they said, let's not go here. That's what happened. Basically, that's what took place. The spies came into Eretz Yisrael. It's like a whole different deal over here. Like, there's a whole different system. It doesn't work. Who says you need parnos? Well, we're just getting used to this idea of everything happening, like, you know, hello, normal, and give me a... It doesn't work that way. You know, so how does it work? How does it work? It works with on a different level. Eretz Yisrael on a different level. It's Einei Hashem Alikachaba. So this revelation was the revelation of Kriyas Yamsuf. And it's a revelation which has to be repeated to us, especially in Eretz Yisrael, repeated to us every single day when we daven. So it's good to take a moment, like a whole new mind training thing. Find the nest of the day. There's a nest every single day. There's a nest. Somebody called me. Somebody didn't call me. You know, some money came in. This came in. I met somebody. Unbelievable, crazy. I mean, everybody's got their stories, but like almost crazy stories happen every single minute of every single day. Hashgacha Pratis. Why? Hashgacha Pratis was watching this very closely, moving the pieces himself. You know, okay. So we'll do the shiur tomorrow.
What's that question? The whole.